pressure of work at home farm has been increased by an outbreak of grain infestation and the statutory autumn sheep dip.
Come on! Get in there! Get in! Ted, make sure the heads go under.
I've checked them all in the pen, Brian. No trouble that I can make out.
Thanks. Sammy, can you take over here for a minute?
Right.
You know, it's times like these, I'm glad I've only got 70 ewes instead of 600.
Thanks for helping.
It's all right.
It's a nuisance having to dip them all again.
You could have left it for a bit. Regulations say it needn't be done till November the 12th.
Yes, but the sooner the better. Get it out of the way. Once we're into lifting the beet, I shan't have time to think.
Brian!
Oh, here's somebody to add to your problems.
Actually, I'm quite fond of Jenny.
Oh, I should hope so. But you'll have to take the odd couple of minutes off when she has her baby.
Oh, Brian, just look at my Jacobs.
Well, they've got to be dipped, darling.
Oh, but the poor things look terrified.
I dare say they are.
They're sensitive, highly strung sheep, and you put them in with those nasty crossbreds.
It's an egalitarian age. Jacob's sheep have to rough it like everybody else.
Sammy's pulling their fleeces. Can't you tell him to be careful?
Oh, they'll not hurt. They just don't like the thought of getting wet.
The Judas sheep doesn't seem to attract them at all.
What?
That ewe in the small pen over there.
Yeah?
The idea is they try to jump across to join her, and down they go into the dip.
Well, you wouldn't expect my Jacob to jump around after that old thing, honestly.
Did you want me for something, love? Because we are a bit tied up.
Well, there's some pest control chap rootling around the grain store, and he'd like a word.
Oh, right.
I'll stay, Brian, in case Sammy needs any help.
Oh, thanks, Dan, if you would.
Well, I'll heave my way slowly back to the house.
Hey, have you heard from your mum?
Well, Lillian phoned to say she'd arrived safely, that's all.
Me and your gran couldn't make it out, going off to Guernsey at a time like this.
A time like what?
Well, with you expecting.
You know about her plan to sell the bull, I suppose.
Eh?
Well, she wants to help Tony with Bridge Farm. Give him the money. Or lend it to him, I don't know.
And she's thinking of selling the place, eh?
Well, that's why she's gone to talk to Ralph and Lillian and get their advice.
Don't see what Ralph can say. I suppose you and Lillian are bound to be involved to some extent.
Well, I hope not.
Well, there's only the three of you, Jennifer.
Oh, Granddad, Lillian and I don't need money. If Tony does, he's welcome.
But can't he raise the cash any other way?
I haven't asked him. Trying to keep clear of the whole thing. You know how touchy he is.
Aye, I suppose the least said the better.
Yeah.
Hey, what does Sid and Polly make of it?
Oh, that's the awkward thing. Mum seems to have dashed off without telling them about it.
Oh, Lord, no.
See, Michelle, the spilt bear collects in the tray. Ullage, we call it.
Right, the spilt bear collects in the ullage.
Yeah. No, the beer's called ullage. But only after it's been spilt, right?
Oh, yeah.
And when the tray fills up, you pour it into the plastic bucket under air.
Then it goes back into the barrel, I suppose.
You what?
Oh, it's all right, Sid, you can tell me. I know most of the tricks.
Michelle, this is a respectable pub. It's not the Cat and Fiddle. No, I just want the ullage kept in the bucket so as I know how much beer's been spilt.
Oh.
I've got to pay customs and excise on it all. And Betty Tucker's been costing me a fortune. Now, this is where the tea towels hang, on these little blue suckers.
Hey, that's good, Sid. From the other side of the bar, I'd no idea things were so well organised.
Yeah, me and Polly's made a lot of improvements since we took the place over. Well, there wasn't always a ploughman's bar. And I put the plastic wood grain tops on all those little tables.
Gosh.
We've plans for the future, too. A proper restaurant out in the yard. A la carte, no messing.
I admire people with energy and vision.
Well, I'm not saying I'm Jack Woolley. Not yet, anyway.
He's just a bully.
Huh? He speaks very highly of you.
You mean he keeps trying to get me deported back to New Zealand? Transported for life, he calls it.
You, don't get on, then?
We don't even speak. You know he makes us drink some foul chicory substitute instead of coffee?
Yes. Yes, I heard he got 5 kilos from a Pakistani importer in Brum. You've got to hand it to him.
I think he's hard on me.
There's no way to treat hard-working staff.
And the way he goes on at poor Mr. Higgs is cruelty to dumb animals.
Oh, well, let's see how you get on working here, shall we?
I'm sorry it's only for a couple of days.
You never know.
And I tell you, it might have been an hedgehog.
Hedgehogs can't climb tables, Walter.
Oh, then cleverer than you think's just so larking.
Good day, gentlemen.
Oh, blimey.
I'm the new barmaid.
Oh, am ya?
I'll leave you to it, Michelle.
Hello, can I come in?
Hello, Jill.
Are you all right?
Oh, just lying, practicing my stage four breathing.
Here, let me help you out.
Oh, thanks. Oh, do you want some coffee?
Just sympathy and a refuge from the battlefield. Shula and Phil are debating current morality.
Oh, dear, not Simon.
He wants her to go skiing with him in January. Phil thinks it's the slippery slope to all sorts of things.
Which it probably is.
Jennifer, don't you start.
Oh, well, she is 19.
And Queen Victoria's dead. That's been Shula's parrot cry ever since the harvest supper. Phil thinks it's time the country got a grip of itself.
You're not going to let her go, then?
I don't know. She's very determined. But so's Phil.
Oh, Shula's very sensible. Girls nowadays know a lot more than they did when... Well, when I was 18.
Oh.
You don't know Shula's on the pill, do
Certainly
you?
Certainly not. At least, I don't think so. Jennifer, I wish I hadn't come.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jenny, can I have some coffee before I go back?
Oh, Brian, come and tell us what you think about...
Never mind, Jennifer. The least said, the better.
Hello, Jill. If Phil wants advice about his pigs, he only has to ask.
That's the least of his problems. He thinks the tide has turned.
And he stuck it out like King Canute, eh? Listen, Jenny, I've got a terrific tune for you.
Oh, Brian, not another.
No, it's perfect. Listen. On the road to Mandalay, where the flying...
No!
Well, when you're lying there in agony, you want something that stirs the spirit.
What I want is pethidine, gas and air, and your hot, sticky little hands.
You're going to attend the birth, are you, Brian?
You bet. I don't want any doctor pinching the silver spoon out of my daughter's mouth.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like?
Vividly. Well, by the way, if you have to dash off at an awkward time and want somebody to look after Adam and Debbie...
Oh, thanks. But you'll regret the offer if it's the middle of the night.
In that case, Shula can come. She doesn't get home from Simon's flat till the early hours.
Good Lord. Don't you mind?
She's, in rebellion.
Shula?
I know it sounds odd. She's always been so conventional. Out hunting every weekend, fighting to save Borchester Grammar. Ever since she was 14, the Young Conservatives' dinner dance has been the high spot of her social year.
Ah, it's astonishing what can happen at a YC dinner dance.
Yes, Brian.
I made her go to a Liberal hop in Hollerton Free Trade Hall once, but nothing came of it. She's always had such respect for authority till now.
What's the use of you working here for only 2 days, Michelle?
I'm back at Grey Gables on Monday, Mr. Gabriel.
No, you don't want to work for Jack Woolley when you can spend your time providing beer and joy for the likes of me and Jethro.
Oh, I'm not sure a girl could withstand your charm for more than 2 days, Mr. Gabriel.
Drink up, Walter. We got to sort out this trouble you're having.
Oh, what's the hurry?
My dinner hour's nearly gone, that's what.
Have you got a problem, Mr. Gabriel?
Yes, you see, I've got an hedgehog in me loft. That or a squirrel that looks just like one.
You ain't got nothing in the kind.
I tell you, I saw it, Jethro.
Your eyesight ain't any good.
No good? Well, it's pretty good for looking at some things, eh?
Mr. Gabriel, if you and Mr. Larkin keep flirting with me, I'm going to tell on you.
Oh, well, I'm a widower, I am. But you can tell Jethro's Lizzie if you like.
Hey,
you both behave yourselves or I will.
I ain't done nothing.
No, that's what I was complaining of.
Hello, oh, hello, boss.
I didn't know you went in for lunchtime drinking.
Oh, you don't, as a rule.
Oh, well, there's a special attraction, as you might say. Hey, Dad.
What can I get you, Mr. Archer?
Oh, a pint, thanks, Michelle. How about you two?
Oh, no, thanks.
Well, I am not saying no to one of my specials, Dan.
Oh, right.
One pint of bitter and a special.
Blimey! You still here, Walter? Everything under control, I hope.
Oh, you have to be at my age. But I don't know about old Jethro here.
Hey, don't you start that again, you old devil.
You haven't heard anything about it, then?
No, Mr. Woolley. Mind you, there's no reason why Peg should tell me your plans.
She generally asks my advice on financial matters, John.
I suppose if she's selling the boat out, Tony, it's not really a financial decision. It's more personal.
I must admit I don't understand it. Here's Tony Archer being given the chance to farm nearly 150 acres, something most young men in agriculture would give their back teeth for, and he's still looking round for help.
It's the cost of equipment. That's the problem.
Oh, no, it isn't. The problem is he's had it too soft all his life. By the time Ralph's given him the farm and Peggy's given him the money, he'll probably ask Dan Archer to do the milking for him.
Oh, I don't think that's likely.
You don't realise what young people are like. The other day, I was passing through the dining room when Michelle Brown pushed a basket of bread in my hand and told me to put it on the end table as I was going that way.
Oh, dear.
I said to her, why don't I put your frilly penny on and make a good job of it? And she said, why didn't I? It might give the customers a laugh.
I hear she's working in the ball for a couple of days.
That's right. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if Sid didn't try and talk her into staying there.
Oh, well, that'd solve one of your difficulties.
How do you mean?
Oh, you'd get rid of her.
I don't want to get rid of her. According to Giuseppe, she's the only decent waitress we've got. I just wanted to show a little more respect, Tom. That's all.
Whereabouts do you reckon you saw it then, Walter?
Oh, over there, Dan. Just in front of me Adam fireplace.
Oh, I suppose it was warming itself up. Might have been a cat.
Are you telling me I can't tell a hedgehog when I sees one?
Oh, any road, it ain't here, Nave.
No, and now there's half a loaf of bread off my kitchen table and an old packet of custard creams as I was saving for Mrs. B.
Are you trying to say a hedgehog made off with a packet of custard creams?
Quick as a flash, straight up me pine staircase.
Yeah, you reckon you was dreaming?
I tell you, I could hear it up there. Thump, thump, thump.
Suppose we'd better have a look. Come on, boss.
Right up.
Hedgehogs do pick on some funny places when they start thinking about hibernating.
Bit early for that, surely. Anyway, I never heard of one taking a packet of biscuits for his winter ration.
Ah, well, there's a lot of funny things happening these days. What with insecticides and poisons being sprayed everywhere.
Oh, get away, Walter.
Whole species being destroyed. Yeah, I've heard all about it from Jennifer.
Oh, she was on at me t'other day. But I didn't take any notice.
Oh, well, that's because you must duck as a parrot, Jethro Larkin.
Here, have you got a torch, Walter?
Eh? No, no, of course I ain't.
Oh, blimey. How can we look in your loft without a torch?
By switching the electric light on, Dad.
Eh?
My Nelson had it put in when he did the place up. Just in case he needs to store things here. Away from business competitors.
Oh. Ah, here it is, Jethro.
Ah, that's better. Shall I have a look then, boss?
Yes, go on.
Nelson even had some little stairs fitted. Trouble is, if I goes up them, I falls off.
What sort of things does your Nelson leave here?
Oh, he ain't left anything yet. He's been fixing big business deals in Tokyo.
Ah, thought I hadn't seen him for a month or two.
Ah, well, it ain't everybody who has a son as famous and successful as my brother.
Thought as much. Could have been anything else, when you thinks about it.
You found an hedgehog?
No, but there's something living by your water tank. And there, see? Long there, boss.
Oh, ah, there's a hole in the plaster.
You can make out the grease tanks where she's been jumping to get in.
But if it ain't an
hedgehog,
what is it?
Rats, Walter. That's what you've got.
Oh, blimey, no.
And from the biscuit crumbs around the place, I reckon there's quite a few on them.
No.